This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
One of the big arguments that they're making is, well, you know, no big deal. They're still around. You can still go talk to them. How different is it interviewing somebody on a topic like this? Like, I don't know, were you involved in a murder? Or where 4 or 5 years, it's even longer than that. How many years are we talking now since this took place? This is what, 7, 8 years since the actual crime took place? To sit back down with them now, compare that interview to what they would have said literally the week of the crime. That's going to be a completely different interview.
It's going to be potentially very different. False memories get implanted on us pretty rapidly after events. And we hear things in media. We hear other people say things. We want to validate our own self-opinion of things. We don't want to feel bad about things. We want to avoid our own shame. And so in order to prevent our own psychological demise and make ourselves feel psychological, comfortable, and safe, we're going to start handpicking memories to kind of build or destroy certain memories. And so the memory does start shifting. And that's why polygraphs are not admissible in court, because a polygraph measures physiological changes to what we're thinking. And if we think something is wrong or right, we're going to have a physiological change in our body when that emotion happens. Well, if you believe what you're saying because you have a false memory of something, you're not going to have a reaction. That's why it's not admissible. And same thing in this situation. If you interview someone years after an event took place, and it's been such in a public arena like this, the ability to that person to objectively remember the event, when you have social media and a social world impacting your memory of it, the accuracy from day one is going to be most likely very different.
I would also probably add in there too that if you were involved in this 8 years ago and you've gotten away with it all this time, you probably have figured out your alibi pretty strong at this point, a little bit better than you would have maybe the week of when you're being questioned. To me, it's baffling. And the thing is, these people aren't idiots. I mean, I don't think the prosecutor, I don't think law enforcement, I don't think anybody in Delphi is an idiot. But I do think they're very, very much out for their own self-interest here. They have to see the optics of this. Do they not? Do they not see how bizarre this all looks by stating that, they're going to accidentally record it over? Not a big deal, not evidence at all, not related to the case, even though it is evidence and completely related to the case. They're like literally saying the opposite of reality and expecting everyone else to believe it.
They seem completely tone deaf of the perception of what's going on. Remember, perception rules everything, unfortunately. You know, facts and data are fantastic and we want to follow it. But when you're dealing with a case that's in such public eye, perception is going to matter a lot, and anything that's going to continually undermine the prosecution's position and credibility, and it keeps happening again and again and again, and you know the light's on you, to have no one step up and create a strategy for the three things that create trust, and because that's what both sides need. People need to trust defense, and people need to trust the prosecution / state in this one. Open communication, transparency, and vulnerability.
Yeah.
They're not displaying any of the things. So there's no openness. There's definitely no transparency. And vulnerability is the ability to say, I was wrong. We did, something went sideways. We're going to fix this. We're seeing none of that in this case. Granted, I know some of these things make them liable if they admit it. But at this point, everyone thinks they're lying.
Without a doubt. I don't know. Are they just too close to this there in Delphi and don't have the context of like the greater world that's watching this and the pressure that's on them?
Therein lies another echo chamber. And you get enthralled and entwined in groupthink, and I'm not saying it's a cult, they're a cult, but that's what the cult mentality is that you get isolated in a groupthink. And no one can change your mind from that group thing, because part of that group think is now part of your identity and self-worth. And someone assaults that identity and self-worth, because I guarantee you, every single person on the prosecution, on the state side of this, thinks they're doing a great job and they're doing it right. And everyone else is just trying to victimize them and come at them. Yeah. And so they kind of circle the wagons, their defenses go up, and it gets worse and worse. And so that's what our minds do.
It feels like a bad Stephen King novel or something. And I'm not saying Stephen King's bad, but it feels like it's so fantastical, like it wouldn't even, you know, pass the muster test there. Just with the cult-like thing going on, where this small community circling the wagons, this is, and they're all in this thing. I mean, it's like we're just waiting for them. And the thing is, there is the aspect of this to be gathered in the wood with robes at night. That's there. That's part of the story too, possibly with the Odinists.
So, I apologize because we have two beautiful young girls that were murdered from this, but you know, let's take a little, if making it movie like, so play things out exactly as they played out, and then the ending scene, no matter what the outcome in the jury is on this, on his guilt or innocence of Richard Allen, the final scene is a hazy thing in the woods where you see four or five figures gathered around some sort of ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And that cuts it.
And then the sequel. No, it does. It certainly keeps
wondering. And that's the doubt because of the lack of transparency that the prosecution has had, because of the weirdness of this entire thing, because of a lack of leadership. There's this constant undercurrent of wondering, is this real? What's going on? And they've undermined themselves on this.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.